Thank you very much.
Blog Talk Radio. Oh, the shark has pretty teeth, dear, and he shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Mac Heath's face, and he keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, dear, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves wear old Mac Heath's face, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, whoa, Sunday morning, lies a body just a oozing light. Can someone sneak in around the corner? Could that someone be Max tonight? There's a tugboat, down by the river, don't you know? Where a cement bag is just drooping on down. That cement is just, it's there for the waste, dear. Five will get you 10 old Mackies back in town. Did you hear about Louis Miller? He disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Mac Heath sends just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash? I said Jenny Diver, one Suki Tawdry, Miss Lottie Linya, and old Lucy Brown. Whoa, the line falls on the right face now that Maggie's back in town. I said Jenny Diver, one Suki Tawdry, look out for Miss Lottie Linya and old Lucy Brown. Yes, the line falls on the right face now that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Hello and welcome, www.thematthewaronshow.com. I am Matthew Aaron here on The Matthew Aaron Show. I am here with, I'm reading over here already. Can you, I'm working with morons today. Hey, Mikey Terzo sitting in with me here at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on Facebook, Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook, also with Len Cannata. Go ahead, boys, say hello.
Hello, folks. How's it going out there?
And you work with idiots every day.
Yeah, fix his mic, would you? What is this? What chop shop am I working at today? You got headphones that don't work. You got microphones not set up properly. Oh, my God. Steve, I'm looking at you today.
Well, so you're a year older, none the wiser, I could see.
Yeah, none the wiser because I'm still with you people.
That's probably the wisest decision you've made in your life.
Oh, yeah?
Mike, I think Mike agrees. Hanging
Steve,
out with
do
us.
We need to get you some caffeine or something? Are you ready?
Oh,
you are you going to be okay?
You don't got any of that X2 energy drink or shit we saw at
the
Comic-Con?
Oh, God. That's awful.
Yeah, you drank
it,
though.
Did you try it?
Oh, he pounded.
So,
so Mike, do you like how we have a Mike Terzo bobblehead and a Matthew Aaron bobblehead?
Yeah, yeah, we do. This one needs a little bit more of a tan, though.
Did you know this chick's Italian?
Okay, you're showing pictures to an audience that can't see him.
Well, no, he's doing the podcast, isn't he?
Before we start today, can I introduce the show, who's on the show? We got a special one here.
And a happy birthday to Matthew.
As you said earlier, I'm about to have an Oprah moment.
This is my birthday gift today. Mikey Terzo is going to get to enjoy some of this birthday gift. Lenny Cannata can enjoy some of this. Though Len seems disinterested.
No. It's your birthday. We should have nothing to do with this.
No, you absolutely
I
do.
Just came
That's
for the...
part of my gift. You,
you
guys
don't understand.
Being involved.
Us being here to support him on his birthday is a very important
Thank
thing.
Thank you. And I want you guys to be
yeah,
able
that's why
to
I want
talk
to read my
to...
book.
I want you guys to be able to talk to Dina Martin.
You know what?
Dina Martin, daughter of Dean Martin, on the show
is
today.
Is she really?
Are you,
I'm just being
you, you know what? I'm going to throw this out here. You know what, man? I got to say, and I think this I speak for Len, or the both of us, I should say, when I say this. Out of all the friends that you have, I think we all are very big Dean Martin fans. But I think between me, you, and Lenny, we might be the biggest of all our group. I mean, this is huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would hope so. But you're acting like it's no big deal, like Dina needs to call you, Len. Like
yeah,
you're
possibly.
Somebody.
Well, if she call wants now. To, is she single again or no?
Married.
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 Shucks.
Yeah. Taken.
Very lucky man.
Very taken to a lucky man.
Can I say lucky again?
Has anyone read her biography about her and Dean and none of you guys have here?
Really?
You don't read. Well, I'm looking at two guys that don't really read.
Really?
Yeah, what are you reading right now?
Really?
Well, he is in law school, so I think he's got to read a little bit.
I think I'm reading quite a bit.
Hey, I want to check something. I want to see if this works here. Why do I hear a beep?
Oh, boy. Just what the hell, your book.
Ay,
ay, ay. Your book notification.
Is it that all the...
You might want to be off when you saw it.
Can people ever not bother me while I'm working? Anyways, Dina Martin is the birthday gift from Pat Tobias to me. I told Pat I want Dina Martin for my birthday. And you went out and you got her. You went out and you got her.
That's you know what? I got to say I love it. I mean, this is awesome.
Well, what are some of your favorite Dean songs? Maybe I could
I just you know what? Literally,
Sorrento.
Cuz we just listened to Dina Martin's version of Ain't That a Kick in the Head, which was good.
See, yeah, very good.
See, that I love that song. I blanked on the name of it. I couldn't believe.
Ain't That a Kick in the Head? You and I know all the words. We sing it all the
time. You know what?
That's like the ultimate pimp walk.
There is. Absolutely. That was the song that I like. You know, it's like that moment where everything goes silent and something in the universe aligns. When I heard that song, that was what did it for me. And I was like, oh, my God. I remember being like 12 years old.
You're like, oh, my God, I'm Italian.
You know what?
Pretty much.
I heard that song a lot. But my sophomore year of college, I was on my way to the city, 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m., get a phone call from one of my best friends at the time who told me my girlfriend cheated on me with him. And then after about a 10-minute conversation, I got off. I just happened to be playing a CD. And as soon as I got off the phone with him, that fucking song cued on. I'll never forget that. Ain't That a Kick in the Head? Kind of a sob story.
Yeah, but you listened to the whole thing.
Oh, I listened to the whole thing. I'm like, wow.
Well, okay. So I'm going to try this new feature we have on the show, see if it even works. Give me a Dean Martin song, though, and I think I could play it.
Evening in Roma.
You want Evening in Rome?
That's a great song.
I love it.
I'm going to have to search
Como
it.
Bella cella luna,
is that your favorite?
My voice is just as...
Does everyone remember... I put like a typical Italian, I put Evening in Rome's. Put an S at
like,
the end of
like,
everything.
Like, where you go? We're going to the Jewels.
Way, isn't it on an evening in Roma?
On an evening in Roma.
On an evening in Roma.
What are you using that new Fletcher service or something? Or what is it?
I don't know.
You know what, Lenny? I'm really glad you said that. I think that's a song I was thinking of earlier that I couldn't remember.
Are you going to talk over the song? Enjoy.
You can't hear it.
He can't
hear it. Try the other one.
Try the other one.
Wait, my pen.
Down each avenue.
I can hear it better now. I just went to stereo. Now I'm in mono. Now I'm in stereo. Now I'm in mono. Now I'm in stereo.
Do they take them for espresso? Yeah, I guess so. Onyx lovers, I'm a girl I wish I knew. On an evening in Roma. Though there's grinning and mandolining in sunny Italy, the beginning is just begun.
Now I'm in stereo. Now I'm in mono. Stereo.
So please meet me in the plaza near your counter. I am only one, and that is one for you. on an evening in Roma.
Mac and
you'll know what the country's coming to, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you on an evening in Roma? Belle c'è la luna, brille, sette, sette, con le butte belle passeggiate. Sotto il cielo di Roma, don't know what the country's coming to, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you
have
an evening in Roma?
If you can't hear it now, you can't hear it. You can hear it now. Good enough.
Which one is that?
Headphones.
What were the other two?
The only one.
So there's your evening in Roma.
Good.
Auxiliary out. What a chop shop. Where are you going, Kanata? Did you see there's diarrhea in my basement?
Oh, what the hell.
I'm not trying to bring this up on Classy Dina Martin show, but...
Then don't. How is Lou Ferrigno?
Oh, Louis Ferrigno.
Because when you know what, I was looking at the pictures online, and I was very disappointed. I wanted to be there, but you know, it's just one of those things that. And I'm looking at Louis Ferrigno, and I just said, of all the things at the Comic-Con, that was definitely.
Let me tell you, Mikey, Louis Ferrigno, what a class act! What a funny guy, just classy, just classy.
He doesn't really look that big in the pictures.
No.
No, Kanata.
All right. Oh, sorry about. sorry. Can we talk about Comic-Con though? Len was there.
Len, did you?
I feel like this is definitely NPR Tuesdays. We're talking very quiet and very.
This is not NPR Tuesday.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. So we go to Comic-Con on Friday to prep. We're going to do a bunch of interviews. We're going to interview everybody. But Len is more interested in the toys.
Yes. Your point.
I've never seen...
What the fuck's your point?
What are you, 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah, 6'2", 6'1".
6'2", 6'3". Maybe three bills, and he's walking around...
A little bit over. Maybe three bills. Let's not be too polite.
A pinch over.
I think you got about 300...
You're welcome, Len.
I think you got, at your table, just the three of us, I think you got about 1,000 pounds, okay?
I'm driving with that.
Yeah.
Anyways, point of the story is...
That's about 580, you think?
Point 600? Of the story is, here's this guy, 6'2", three bills, walking around looking at Stormtrooper figures.
And I was the best looking one. And I was the best looking one.
You were very good looking. You were very
good
looking.
I was the top of the food chain there.
Did you know... you weren't there, Terzo. What, did you not get invited?
Let's not go there.
No invite?
We'll just chalk this one up to a mistake.
No invite?
You really want
him? Oh, shaved his head.
Well,
anyways, long story short, this guy's walking around looking at Legos, Stormtroopers. I'm there to interview people. I'm there to be a professional. He's got his 2016 Olympics bag. How's that working out for us?
Living in the past a little bit, Len?
Just a little. It was a free bag.
Yeah, it sure was free. Anyway,
I got an Olympic T-shirt as well.
Did anybody tell you it didn't happen yet, or you still think they're coming?
I still think it's coming.
All right.
Yeah. No, when are we getting the Olympics? When?
I was hoping 2016.
No, we're talking like
2024. You're one of the few people that wanted it.
I really did.
I wanted it too. Everyone's like, oh, the traffic's going to be so bad, Yeah, for two fucking weeks, 7 years from now.
That's an F word on the
Dina.
That's two F words on the Dina Martin show.
Now here's the other thing. I'm just
going to... Well, you're very classy.
Here's one of the reasons that I wanted to do it.
Classy woman.
Because for people who have actually met people outside the country that talk about Chicago, I wanted to do it because it's so big on a world scale.
Absolutely.
It would have been the first time that the world would have been able to see that Chicago is just as classy as New York. It's got better things to offer in a different way.
No.
And it's not just a bunch
of
Al Bundy.
It's far classier than L.A.
First of all.
Far classier.
Oh, yeah? Because I'm pretty sure L.A.'s had the Olympics.
Yeah, look how well that went.
Well, it went better than the one here. How's
that
one going?
Yeah, and they applied for it again. They're like, get fucked. Pound sand.
Get effed.
Here's a question. When did when did New York have the Olympics?
They can't have the Olympics. Where are they going to have them, Mikey?
I'm just throwing that out there.
There's nowhere to have
them.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
They'd have to build a new stadium
I'm just saying. Anyway, but Chicago would be a great location. It would have revamped the South Side.
Chicago would have been a great location for kidnappings, murders.
Right. Because
anyway, you're comparing this to
Rio de Janeiro?
A place where they shoot down police helicopters
with
rocket launch.
Never happened.
Right, right.
Never happened.
Well, you know what? CNN and every other news outlet beg to differ.
You know what?
All the liberal media.
Because you don't listen to them.
The liberal media slant.
You know, I'm just going to throw this out there, but honestly, I think one of the things they had to do with the people that were judging on this, I feel like some of the way that we went about trying to get it and sending people over and everything, I just don't think it went over well with the people who were in charge.
What didn't go over well? We sent over Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and Oprah. How do you screw that up?
No, I think it was more from our actual Olympic committee. They didn't know how to take care of their national Olympic committee.
Did you see the video they were using to promote it?
Yeah.
It was terrible. I texted you like 5 times during that video going, really?
Yeah.
We look like an inner city. The whole thing.
Yeah.
They made the whole thing look like we're an inner city.
Great.
Oh, yeah. It was awful.
They couldn't show Michigan Avenue, sweeping view of the skyline.
It was an awful video. And then to make it even worse, they made it basically seem like the Olympics was going to come and save our fair city. Like we're in trouble.
Great.
Oh, they're going to come save us. The kids are going to not be poor anymore.
You know what? The liberal media, specifically the wonderful reporters we have in this great town.
Aren't you the liberal media?
Also kind of shot us in the foot. We're like, oh, all these sweetheart deals and all this shit.
Oh, yeah.
When douchebags like Andy Shaw,
who
can't get a real job.
There's one. Better government bureau. What are you talking about?
Please, he's a hack.
BGA.
Why don't you ask him about the little income from his bed and breakfast he was running?
I'm just going to throw this out there. Before Daley got out of office.
Andrew Shaw, right under the bus.
He had to hand out a few more beatings before he got out of office for that way that went.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we should get
back.
Can
we get back to the Comic-Con? You wanted to hear about this. So
this was just based on me carrying a
Olympics bag. Sunday we're interviewing. So first interview I did, first one I did, Steve, was Louis Farrigs.
No,
Lou Gossett Jr. was first.
Looking
Academy
old.
Award winner.
Very nice.
Looking kind of old.
He is kind of old. He was in a wheelchair. Have a little love.
Oh, was
Lenny.
He? I didn't see him.
He stood up for me.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good.
He stood up for me. He took notice who was interviewing him.
No, we just walked by him. Maybe because he's a classic guy.
He was paralyzed, and then he shook my hand, and he stood up.
I don't think he's paralyzed.
That's what happened. That's how it went down.
Oh, you're like Jesus. You cure the
I'm not going that far. I'm not going that far.
You just said he was paralyzed and he stood up when he saw you.
I'm not going that far. I'm just telling you how it was, okay?
What was will be, what is will be no more.
What am I looking at?
Vivo the Carpathian.
What am I looking at? Oh, yes. Even though I did Sunday, I do want to continue to thank Dean Anderson, the CEO of the Midwest Conference Service, for our great banner. It's a fantastic banner. Have you seen the banner, Mike?
I did see the banner. It was very outstanding.
It's pretty sick.
Okay.
I like the fact you're wearing a suit. I've never seen that before.
So we'll have more. Yeah. We'll have more.
He still looks like a dummy.
We will have more coverage of the Comic-Con in the coming weeks. We'll have all the interviews up on the site, but I interviewed Louis Gossett. I interviewed Lou Ferrigno. I interviewed the Nasty Boys. I interviewed the Million Dollar Man. I interviewed Vivica Fox, Maria Kanellis, Anthony Michael Hall. So it was a good little we did some good.
Leah's here as well.
Are we out of? I think we're out of holes.
We're out of holes. That's okay.
We're out of holes.
Whatever.
You'll what?
Lee is here.
Well, you got to talk to Dina.
I'll be on top of that.
Are you going to be on top of that?
I am more than happy.
Lee Caprice is here, by the way.
Hello, Lee Caprice. Hello. Big traffic.
I'll beat
on the
you the other way.
Going south. One of the little reflective bumps came off of the highway, so they had to hire 3 jerkheads. I'll be nice. Jerkheads.
Jerkheads.
Today's show is G-rated. G-rated. To get it back on, there was like standstill traffic. Ridiculous.
Well, why gotta be so mean to the people trying to fix it?
Well, but like But it's like there's guys like
I think that's just assuming a whole lot. It is assuming a whole lot. I agree. You know, if it wasn't for those people, maybe you'd still be on the highway.
83 south.
Maybe
well,
you want to.
No, there's your first mistake. You're on 83 going south in rush hour.
That's how I get here.
Yeah,
I always get here.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to pay the tolls.
Man, then you've been going through a lot to get to these shows.
Yeah.
People should be bowing down to you for even arriving here.
Okay.
Whoa. Calm down, pal.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. You are. You know, because you played with that friggin' pen, you got blue highlighter all over your hand now.
Where's the cap for it? There's no cap.
Yeah, well, because I have a bunch of idiot friends, who come over to my humble abode, take caps off of pens, write messages like "kill me now," and then don't put the caps back on the pen.
I didn't write actually any of those messages.
That was all Charles Salvatore.
I did hold up the napkin.
Two S's.
So.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna throw this out here, Len. Your Gornudo over there looks very nicely polished. Yeah.
So let's play another song. Then we'll come back. We'll talk a little, and then Dina will be on. What song do you want to hear? I'm using this new machine of ours. I'm excited about this.
Sorrento.
What machine? You mean pirated music?
Sorrento. Look, we don't make any money on this show, so technically it is not against the law. You are a lawyer.
Gray area.
Shouldn't you know this?
Gray area.
Len.
Wait.
Hey, Len.
Pirating music is a gray area?
I'm not pirating it.
Whoa.
This is music I own,
Len.
And I'm playing.
Sata Z.
By new machine, I mean I have all my songs on this machine, and I can pick one out.
He's a lawyer like Dr. Demento is a
the
doctor.
The machine's called iTunes, Len. But thanks for ruining my big secret machine.
Is that how you get all these fantastic songs on the show?
Come back to Sorrento? Is that what you want to hear, Mikey? Okay. You know what? Let's play a Dina song. We'll do Come Back to Sorrento after Dina.
Okay.
How about, all right, we already heard Dina with Ain't That a Kick in the Head. Let's do some, or did we hear Mac the Knife or Ain't That a Kick in the Head? No, I think we did Mac the Knife. I'm going to have to ask. I'm going to ask Tobias and Caesar. We'll see which one's smart enough to get to me first. I know, right? Oh, we just played Mac the Knife. We just played Mac the Knife. I knew it. Ain't That a Kick in the Head, Dina Martin. I'm a little nervous. I'm sorry. This is a big birthday for me, Dina Martin. This is big. Are you ready for some Dina?
Cut your mic.
How lucky can one gal be? I kissed him and he kissed me. Like my daddy once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged him and he hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep, I'll keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful as sunshine, enough to spread. It's just like the fella said, tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep, I keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. He's telling me we'll be wed. He picked out a king-size bed. I couldn't feel any
So, Mikey, we figured out it's your headphones. Your bum ass ghetto headphones.
That's the second pair of headphones.
In the ghetto.
And they worked every other time I was here.
Well, I think my cat, before she took diarrhea on the floor, decided to.
It is the anniversary.
Maybe that's why my cat has diarrhea.
Yeah, have to say.
Oh,
diarrhea.
Well, Michelle Bachman said today, by the way, it's the birthday of Elvis Presley
today.
Today's
the anniversary of his death.
Yes,
right?
But Michelle Bachman would like us to know it's his birthday.
It's
you know
actually,
what? She's the one that said she's so happy to visit town that John Wayne grew up in. John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy.
La 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 la.
Oh. Dina's good. I like Dina Martin. I like her album Volare. I believe her other album I have is Memories Are Made of This.
Memories Are Made of This.
I believe that's the name of the album. She's good. She is good.
Good voice.
Yeah, I like her. I like her. I don't know. This is a weird show for me because this is like we obviously don't have the same energy we usually do because I'm nervous. I'm very nervous.
Don't be nervous. You're gonna do fine.
I don't know. Well, this is as close to getting Dean on as I can. I mean, this is like my idol.
Yeah.
His daughter's coming on. Dean Martin, in my mind, and I'm going to talk about this with her, but Dean Martin, in my mind, created improv comedy.
Absolutely.
In my mind. I think so.
With Jerry Lee Lewis.
That guy.
Which, yeah.
Jerry Lewis, not Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, I love when Dean Martin and Jerry Lee, they'd sing Great Balls of Fire together, that great Dean Martin song.
Yeah.
The old roasts were awesome.
Yeah.
Those were just.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely a big part of what is today.
Let's put it this way. You're never going to see a guy like Dean Martin in our lifetime.
No, you're not. Those were entertaining. That's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, Shelley did say they worked for it. Shelley Leibowitz, by the way.
Great.
He's
man.
Another great guy from that era. We got to appreciate this time we have with these people to have these stories because it's our jobs to pass them on.
You know, and that's very true. And you know, it's funny. You ever grow up and everybody says, you know, who is your idol? Who's the guy you want to be when you grow up? And people Hulk Hogan or they talk about some sort of movie star or a sports star. And you know, honestly,
Mikey Terzo wanted to be Brian Knobs, the Nasty Boy.
And you know what's funny is that. I'm 25 years old. My generation shouldn't be the Dean Martin of my generation. But I can honestly say, if you would have asked me at 14 years old who I wanted to be, I would have told you Dean Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, at 14.
I think every Italian looks at it like this.
Oh, okay.
I think every Italian's too afraid to say they wanted to be like Frank Sinatra because it's Frank. Chairman.
I respect
so
Frank.
So I think everyone's like,
no.
Dean's the guy.
I don't even think it's that. Forget
but Dean
the chairman.
No, I'm not just saying that. But my point is, Dean was more relatable to a regular person.
Maybe for them, but for me, it had nothing to do with
who
that.
Who do you see yourself having a more friendly drink with, Dean or Frank? Like just bullshitting and hanging out.
I think I can do
it.
Yeah,
that's my point.
Yeah,
and I believe with the Dean experience, it's a little more relatable where you're like, I want to be like Dean.
But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing that Dean did that Frank didn't do. Not that Frank wasn't outstanding.
No, he's the best.
But Frank kind of had the more tough guy thing going on.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Dean was just as tough,
but
10 times smoother.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
and that was classic.
I believe the story Elvis told was Elvis was the king of pop, but Dean Martin was the king of cool.
Absolutely,
yeah.
That's the story that Elvis tells. He's the
swagger.
King of rock.
I mean, he is the definition of swagger. Nobody.
I love how I said Elvis tells. Like
you could call him the godfather of soul. Really.
Wait.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that James Brown, the godfather of soul?
Got to come in and make James Brown reference.
I mean, look at the way the roast got done. I mean, Dean Martin.
Are
the Dean Martin variety
good
show?
Without Dean?
No. Not at all.
No. Dean was the guy. You know who reminds me of Dean, but won't live up to him, but reminds me of Dean is George Clooney. And that's about as close as you're going to get.
You know what? You actually, that is close.
Hold on, but we have our phone call, and I believe it's Dina.
Uh-oh.
If it is Dina, everyone's headphones are going right on. Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with? My hands are sweating.
Are your hands sweating? This is Dina Martin.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God.
Hey, Dina.
Oh, Dina.
How are you?
I am good. I hope you know this, but you are my birthday present.
Really?
I told
when's
my...
When's your birthday?
It was yesterday. I know yours is in a few days, correct?
Yes. So you're a fellow Leo.
Yes, I am. We share similar birthdays. And I told my booker, I go, I want Dina Martin for my birthday.
Well, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Aaron, Matthew Aaron. I hope it's yours, Patrick. Happy birthday to you.
That was pretty good.
Oh.
That was pretty good. A little ball button in there, too.
Nah, Matthew.
That's just like your dad there, a little ball busting thrown in.
Yeah, well, that's how I was brought up.
That's the way we should be brought
up. Dean, I got to tell you, I am a big fan of you. I'm a big fan of your music. And I'm a big fan of your father. And, I mean, this is an interview, like, I don't know, do you know Shelley Leibowitz?
Yes. Why do I know Shelley Leibowitz?
Shelley used to produce music with your dad, I know. And he,
okay, of course, but, that's all right.
Yeah, but we have him on the show frequently, and, you know, we were just talking about, these are the stories, what you're doing is important to us, because you're passing down your father's stories to another generation, and you've got your own experiences as well, and it's great for all of us, and, we just kind of we respect and love you and your family so much that we really are honored you're doing this.
Well, thank you very much. And it's, of course, my honor to, you know, I get out there and I sing these great songs from my dad and, of course, Uncle Frank and Uncle Sammy. And it's something that I just love to do. And I guess that's why I was named Dina Martin. I was to carry on the tradition. And it's so important because they were just the most incredible entertainers and fun and fabulous. And when I go out after one of my shows, the stories that people tell me is just, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and it's wild, too, because now who is in charge of the rights to your dad's music? Is that you?
It's all of us. It's the trust, and it all depends on which... which label it was on. You know, Capitol could have some. You know, then there was Reprise and there's Universal. But it's all under our trust.
Okay, because I was wondering, because we saw a movie. This movie came out, I believe, 10 years ago, and it's a great little Chicago movie called Return to Me. It was written by and directed by Bonnie Hunt. I love the film. I love that film. Love it. And it had a lot of your dad's music in it. And I was figuring Bonnie probably approached you about it.
Oh, of course. And she is a very dear friend of mine. And I thought that was one of the most beautiful movies. It was just, it was written beautifully. It was produced beautifully. And the way she wrote that, was it just touched my heart. And, of course, we wanted her to have the music. And to sit there in the theater, and it was dark, and then all of a sudden you would hear, "Return to Me." It was just an unexplainable experience for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, because, like, oh, that was a Chicago movie. It was filmed at Twin Anchors, the restaurant. That was just my movie. I love that movie. I know it's a romance. I know it's not a guy thing, really, but I loved it. I thought David...
Oh, no, it was cool, and Bonnie Hunt is so funny.
Yeah,
she is. She's remarkable, and everybody in it was just great. And I think she picked a fabulous cast. So, and I love Chicago.
Yeah.
Are you from Chicago?
Yeah, we are. We are.
We are. Yeah.
We're moving out to LA in a few months, but we are from Chicago and doing the show from here for now.
Oh, so then you know Dennis Farina and Joe Mantegna. Oh,
wish
gosh.
A little more. Wish we knew him a little more.
Just a bit more.
We would love to have more Chicago people on this show.
Well, I'll have to talk to them. In fact, I was at Capitol Records last week, and I'm recording my new Christmas album, and Joe Mantegna came by, and it was wonderful for him to be there, and he heard all the new cuts, and he just thought, he said, "Dina, this is an instant classic." I thought, well, all right.
He's great, because I went to the college I went to in part because of Joe, because Joe went to DePaul and I went to DePaul, and I wanted to be an actor like Joe. And, you know, Lenny was the same. Joe, he's from Cicero.
Well, why don't you talk?
Yeah, is he from Cicero?
He's from Cicero and went to high school with my parents. He was like 2 years or 3 years old.
He graduated in 69 from DePaul.
Yeah.
69.
Right around, yep.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. What?
You know, I think I probably knew that, but there's a lot that I've forgotten. But he is one of the nicest men I have ever met. And he's just a dear, dear friend. And actually, when he was, he played my dad in the Rat Pack movie.
Correct.
That and he did a beautiful job. It was so respectful and so wonderful. And we've become very, very dear, dear friends since then.
Yeah, that's great because he is fantastic. But I was going to get back to the Bonnie Hunt. She reminds me a little bit of your dad, too, because she can kind of do it all.
Can't she, though? She is really quick and funny and pretty and kind and does wonderful things for people.
But
you know, so it's not... She's not that Hollywood type person. She's a Chicago girl.
I've seen your appearances, Dina, and you are a quick wit too. Is this true? You moved from L.A. and you now live in Branson, Missouri. Did I hear right about that?
Yes, we bought a home here. I'm sitting here right now. We did the Beverly Hillbillies backwards.
I got to ask you, Dina, how's the Italian food in Branson?
No. The only Italian food here is when I cook.
Okay.
It's really not. It's not great. In fact, one of the restaurants that I go to all the time is Andy Williams, the Moon River Grill, because there really are. There's not a lot of restaurants here.
River.
Yeah, Moon River. In fact, Andy does a duet with me on my new Christmas album.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It's wonderful. White Christmas.
I'm waiting for it. Have you and Tony Bennett done a duet yet?
No, I'm working on that. You know, we're always working on doing more things, better things, you know, getting out there. It just all takes so much time.
You and Tony.
You know, we're trying to do things. I'm trying to get the, you know, Bonnie Hunt is writing the screenplay for my book, for my movie.
Yes. Yeah, I heard about
it. Yes, and so that's going to be something. But everything is glacially slow. Hollywood and trying to get things accomplished. But, you know, she's been so busy, I've been so busy, and Joe Mantegna is going to direct it.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, Jennifer Love Hewitt's going to play me, so that'll be fun.
Wow.
Wow.
You know what? When she looks like the younger version of you, too.
Yes, she does.
When did you do I Will with your dad? When was that recorded?
I Will was... Gosh. Well, he recorded it. I think it became a hit for him in 65.
Yeah.
And then when I recorded it, I just sing it on, it's on my album. I think it's on the Volare album, the last one that I did. But it's fun. I will be doing a lot more duets with my dad.
Oh, that's great. Because
yes.
Didn't you do country music at one time, too? Or was that?
Yes,
Yeah.
Yes. Well, my first record was Girl of the Month Club. And Lee Hazelwood was the, he wrote the song, and he, you know, Lee is the one who did These Boots Are Made for Walking.
Yeah.
And Houston, going back to Houston. And so I started out with in country, and then I moved on to rock and roll. I had a band called the Chromium Plated Streamline Baby, and now I'm singing, you know, the Great American Songbook, because this is the greatest music around. It really, really is.
Yeah.
You know, with a big band, and also I have a quintet, but the songs are just so wonderful, and it's something that's in me to sing these songs.
Do you have a friendship with Nancy Sinatra since you brought up These Boots?
Oh, sure, I love Nancy.
Yeah,
we go way back. she's a very dear friend.
I say, have you two not decided to tour together yet? What about that tour, Sinatra and Martin?
Well, we've actually thought about that. You know, these things always, it's always going around. Oh, we'd love to get Nancy and Dina together. We'd love to get Frankie and Dina together, and things like that are always talked about. It's just trying to fit them in, and everybody has busy schedules, and it's something in the future.
I want to see Nancy and Dina. That's my jam. That I will.
She is so cute. She is very, very cute. Has a great figure. Always did. She was the it girl when I was growing up. Everybody wanted to be like Nancy Sinatra, and then there she was, you know, doing the movie with Elvis, and Gosh, you're bringing back a lot of memories for me tonight.
Just know, Dina, now, I know you're married, I know Nancy's married, but this coming from a 28-year-old man here in Chicago, you two look very good still.
Yeah.
Very
good. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I have to oh, gosh, you just made me laugh. Years ago, let's see, Nancy was in Playboy magazine. That was a long time ago.
Yes.
And I think she was maybe 50, well, I don't want to say it was a long time ago. It was quite a few years ago when she was in the magazine. She looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And not too long ago, I was at a party and someone came up to me and they said, you know, I saw you in Playboy magazine and you looked great. And I said, well, thank you. gosh. But that was a compliment coming from you, a 28-year-old. Well, that's great.
Nine and, looking 28-year-old. I kind of look like Don Rickles just walked in my basement, but
yeah. No, and he's funny. He's a dear friend, Don Rickles. Boy, is he a little nutty, huh?
Yeah, a little.
Going strong.
Oh, I adore him.
You know what, though? I have a friend who was at a party that Don was at a few months ago, and they told me he is as sharp as ever. He will bust you up, and he's a funny.
Oh, yeah, no, it's true. He really is, and he is so much fun, and he is the nicest guy.
I was saying, why is Don going to parties? He's like 86.
He's not done yet.
He's not.
No, he is not. In fact, I was just in Connecticut doing a big Mount Carmel Italian festival, and it was wonderful. And Don was at the Mohegan Sun. And we were trying to get together, but it was 2 hours away from where we were. But he's out there performing and doing an incredible job packing in the audiences, and it's great.
Is it hard being in Branson, and would you say most of your friends are in, like, New York and L.A.?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It really and truly is, and we don't. And the main problem, and I do, you know, I love going to New York and also to Chicago and Florida and L.A. and that's what we love to do. It's difficult getting from Branson. It's difficult getting anywhere because there are no direct flights.
No.
And so, we can get into Midway. We can go from Branson to Midway, but we have to go through Atlanta or Midway or Dallas to get anywhere really.
Well, my dad.
So it's a little tough.
My dad always says he wants to move to the middle of nowhere, like Branson. So when I heard you were in Branson,
I know. I have to tell you, we didn't know where Branson was, but the people have been so nice, and it's the country is beautiful. There's the mountains, the lakes, and the trees, and it's quiet, and it's a wonderful place for us to just chill out. Because we just came back yesterday from Las Vegas, and then we were in Florida. Week before that, in Connecticut the week before that. And so for us to come back and just have this very nice home on the golf course, and it's quiet, and people don't bother you. They just say, hi, Dina, how you doing? And it's just a nice place to live. I look out my kitchen window, and I see Andy Williams, and he's out there on the golf course, and he's walking in taking his morning walk in the morning. And so it's just a very nice place to be.
That is so funny. That would be funny. That'd be a sight to see. You know what I was going to ask you, just for our audience? Why don't you give them the title of your book, your autobiography that you wrote about you and your father? It's a great read, and that's what you're basing the movie off of. So why don't you let our audience know where they can pick that up?
Oh, you can get it on Amazon or go onto my website, which is dinamartin.com. And Dina is Dean, D-E-A-N-A. So it's Dean with an A, dinamartin.com. And the name of the book is Memories Are Made of This, Dean Martin Through His Daughter's Eyes.
Yeah.
And they can get it on, as I say, on Amazon and just about anywhere. But they can go to my website because there's beautiful photos, and it's a fabulous website, I think.
Yeah. Let's talk about Valari a little. What made you decide to do the song, the American Songbook, basically? I mean, this is a great album, Valari. I know people sometimes get nervous because they're like, okay, it's someone's famous's, spawn doing their music, but you do it very well.
Well, thank you. Well, also, here's the deal. First of all, I love all that music, and my dad had so many hits, and everybody knows those songs, loves the songs, like That's Amore, And it doesn't matter where I go. Everybody knows all the words to Volare and That's Amore and On an Evening in Roma. So it's the music that I love. It's the music that is associated with Dean Martin. And of course, you know, and I already said this, that it's my honor and my pleasure to be able to bring this music to all of his fans and new generations and old generations and keep this whole thing going. But when I sing these songs, it just makes me happy. And Volare means so much to me because that means to fly in Italian. And my husband and I were both pilots, and our plane is named Volare. And so there was just something about that song that I needed to record it, of course. And then there's the songs like Non Dimenticare, or What a Difference a Day Makes, and Mac the Knife, and Lady is a Tramp. And it's wonderful lyrics. I have beautiful, beautiful arrangements. Charlie Colello, who was one of the original Four Seasons, wrote all of my arrangements. And, you know, it's big bands and just actually a 42-piece orchestra. We've got strings and everything. So it's that whole genre. It's that whole, you know, the thing that my dad had that I want to recreate. And I do it with my albums and... I'm going to be in, where am I going to be next week? West Virginia, at the in Clarksburg, and I'll be at an Italian festival, and I'll bring my trio, which consists of Vinnie Falcone, who was with Frank Sinatra. He's my musical director. He was with Frank Sinatra for 10 years, and I have Bob Sachs, who was with Keeley Smith and Keeley and Sam Butera, and I have Mike Meacham, who was with the second version of the McGuire sisters. So I have great musicians, and it's the wonderful arrangements, and it can't be beat.
I always kind of kid around talking about how hot those McGuire sisters are.
You know what they are? It's so great to see their outfits. I mean, they have such beautiful gowns and great figures, and it's funny, and I hope that people, you know, remember the McGuire sisters, and
we do.
You know, look at them on YouTube and all of that.
Now, Dina, Mikey Terzo. Mikey Terzo has a question.
All I was going to say is
Mikey.
If you're doing Italian festivals in West Virginia, we need to get you in Chicago.
She's been here. When's the last one you did, Dina? Was it last year you did one here?
Well, actually, I think it was the year before last, right down there on, is it Taylor Street?
Okay,
yeah.
With Onesti?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
And, you know, so many people showed up, and it was quite a lot of fun. You know, Italian festivals is just near and dear to my heart.
Oh, well.
You can't go wrong with an Italian festival.
Well, you can. Good food, good drink. I was going to ask you also. Lenny Cannata also had a question for you about your father and his movie.
Was Scorsese going to do a movie about your dad, or was that just pure?
Yes. But you know what, I think something happened with the script. I'm not exactly sure what happened with that. But I love Martin Scorsese. I think he's just a phenomenal director. And I was just with, where were we? We were at NIAF, the National Italian American Foundation in Washington, D.C. And what a night that was. I was sitting with Scorsese and Dennis Farina, and it was just a wonderful night. And De Niro.
Yeah, I don't get into that yet. I don't get invited.
You got
to
become a member.
Oh, I got to become.
Yes, yeah.
Now wait, is it like Scientology?
No.
It's the farthest thing from it.
You also have to join the Order of the Sons of Italy too. You can,
Are you in these clubs? I want to see your membership. Give me your cards.
Actually, I am a member of the NIIF.
Dina, what Italian clubs are you involved in? Is there seriously a list like this? Is Mikey being real?
Oh no, he is being real. But I tell you, I'm a friar. I'm a member of the Friars Club, and I'm very proud of that.
Wow, that's great. Your dad did the roast better than anybody.
I know, in fact, it was so much fun for me. A few years ago, we roasted Jerry Lewis, and then a year before last, we roasted Vinnie Pastore, who was Big Pussy on The Sopranos.
Right.
That was a funny night. All of them. I mean, they were wild nights.
You're talking to a couple guys that know about The Sopranos.
I always said
about ball breaking.
Yeah, and about.
if I always said if they did those Dos Equis commercials back in the day, your dad would have been the guy who was doing the most interesting man in the
world.
Well,
Dina, why don't you tell Mikey what's the story that Elvis said about he was the king, but your dad was... Tell that story.
It was so nice. And it was years... Well, of course, it was years ago. And I went to the studio with my dad to Paramount. And we're standing out in front of my father's dressing room. And we're out on the lot at Paramount. And I see this man on a bicycle start riding up, just a regular bike, not a motorcycle, a bicycle. And he comes riding up, and I see, and I say, oh, my gosh, it's Elvis Presley. So Elvis gets off his bike, and he says hi to my dad. And he says, is this your lovely daughter? Are these your daughters? And my dad says, well, yes, you know, and this is Dina. So Elvis kneeled down, and he took my hand, and he said, you know, Dina, he says, I love your father. He said, and they call me the king of rock and roll. He said, but your dad is the king of cool. I almost died. Oh, Elvis thought my dad's cool. It was great. And it is true. My dad was the king of cool.
Yeah.
At what point did you know your dad was your hero?
Oh, he always was. And he was just, because he was always super cool and sweet and kind.
Yeah.
You know, and he was so funny. And he was like, you know, one of the kids. But to be able to go to the Sands Hotel back when he was on stage and he would be with, you know, Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr., it was amazing to sit in the audience. And then you would hear, you know, the announcer, you know, they, you know, the timpani would roll, and then you'd hear the announcer say, ladies and gentlemen, the Sands Hotel is proud to present the star of our show, direct from the bar, Dean Martin. And then, you know, my dad would walk out. And the people in the audience around me would go, oh, there he is. And it was just amazing for me because he was magical up there. And he looked gorgeous in his tuxedo. And he just had this, you know, smile on his face. And he was just so smooth. And the way he sang was just beautiful. And he told stories. And everybody laughed. And you just didn't want him to leave the stage. And he was just remarkable to me. So, I mean, all my life I think that he's just been an unbelievable entertainer.
Yeah. For someone to also got to enjoy him in Vegas, like you got to enjoy him in Vegas, I know you were just in Vegas, correct, doing shows?
Yes, I was. We just got back yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to say they were all sold out. It was wonderful. And, you know, the crowds just love this music.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you feel like there's a difference, though, between when your dad and Frank and Sammy were there, obviously, and then when you do Vegas? You kind of feel like Vegas as a town is different. Maybe it's the talent that's different. What's different about Vegas from when you were growing up and now?
Well, now it's so commercial. You know, I mean, it really is. With all those, I mean, the unbelievable, the huge, huge casinos, and it's all, there's so many hotels. And it's not the, you know, it's not the great little town. To me, it's not the great little town that it was where people would drop in at somebody else's show. And it was different. You know, I guess this is progress now. And the audiences are different. Back when my dad was performing, you know, people looked good. The women wore beautiful dresses. The men wore suits. It wasn't, they weren't walking in, you know, T-shirts and baseball caps. It was a whole different era, and it was classier. You know, I shouldn't say it, because a lot of the people that came to my show, in fact, all the people that came to my show, they were all dressed beautifully. But as when I look at some of the other shows in Vegas, it's just not the same, and it's a time that I miss.
So you're saying people aren't wearing three-piece suits to Carrot Top?
No, they are not. They're not, but they're having a good time.
Are they,
you know, and it's all about having a good time and being entertained, and it's just not the same.
Dina, where do you stay when you're in Vegas? And the second question to that is, what do you do when you're in Vegas? What's the Dina Martin experience? Because I got to assume they take care of you out there.
They do take very good care of me, and usually we go to, well, where I have to go, the first place I go for dinner is I go to Caesar's Palace to Rao's. Rao's restaurant with Frankie Pellegrino. It's the same thing I do when I go to New York.
Yep.
I will go to Rao's restaurant up in Harlem.
Dina, explain what Rao's is. Explain why it's so special.
Well, Well, there's not many tables, and there's just a few, and I'm trying to think how many. I'm thinking maybe there's 20 tables there, and you cannot get into Rao's because everybody has their own table. So you might have, you know, so Matthew, you might have this table on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m., and that's your table every Tuesday night, and that's what you have. So no one else can have your table. And then someone else will have that table on Wednesday night, you know, from 6 until, you know, 10 or whenever it is. And all the tables are owned by people. I mean, that's theirs. They have that table. Now, people fight about these in divorces. They leave them to their kids in their wills because they want to go to Rao's with Frankie Pellegrino and have a fabulous meal. And it's a small little place, and the bar is, it looks like Christmas time there because they still have all of the Christmas tree lights up there. And you can go there and have a drink, but usually you can't get in to have a table there because everybody has their own.
It's funny.
But the food is unbelievable.
There was a, when you call there, they're like, we have no more reservations for 2011. Try back in November for 2012.
It's true. It's true. But you know what? It's worth the wait. So when I go to Vegas and the food is absolutely the same. It's so good. When you go to Caesar's Palace, and definitely you have to go to Rao's, it's just it's spectacular.
Now, DM, do you have a table at Rao's in New York?
No, I do not have a table. I get any table that, you know what, when Frankie invites us, they find a place for us. And usually we'll go after 9, because I'm usually working when I get to New York, and then we'll go in, and usually the people have left their table by then. But it's Frankie will get me in.
They don't let our people into Rao's, Mikey.
They don't let you in? To go there and have a lemon chicken, and Zuppa de Pesce. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. And you have the there's a jukebox in the corner, and it's playing all the great songs. You'll hear That's Amore, and you know all the wonderful songs. And it's just a wonderful feeling to go there.
I get goosebumps when I hear you speak Italian.
Via banda va tutta linea di Genova Parioli.
Oh. Sweat there. Woo. I love it.
I love it, too.
I got to see, this is what I got to do. I got to get famous enough that I can have dinner with Dina Martin. That's what I need to do. That's how famous we need to get.
we can do that. Now, there's a wonderful restaurant. Where was I? In Chicago. Well, there's, is it Rosebud? Oh, I know. On Rush Street, we had a great meal at Merlot. What is it? Merlot on Maple?
Oh, Merlot on Maple. Yeah, that's actually a very good,
very
small. I believe they do Southern Italian cuisine, or is it Northern? I forget.
Well, which restaurant are you talking about?
Merlot on Maple.
Merlot on Maple, and Dennis Farina and I went, my husband, and we had a fantastic time. We took Vinnie Falcone, we were there doing the, I guess we were doing Taylor Street, and we went on Rush Street. We went with Dennis, and we had so much fun. We went and hit all the bars, but we had a fabulous meal there. And then we went down to, is it Rosebud down on Taylor Street?
Rosebud's wonderful.
Yes. Oh, the pressed chicken to die for.
Rosebud's excellent. You got Carmine's on Rush. You got Gibson's. There's quite a few there.
That's right. A lot of good food in Chicago. And I wish they would come to Branson.
Oh, you know what? I'll send you out some good Chicago food. I'll send you out some Portillo's.
let me just throw this out here at you. I have cousins that live in Branson, okay? And
one of them
came up, one of them brought one of their friends when they came up, and we were driving down the street, and there's an Olive Garden. And now, this wasn't one of my cousins, this is my cousin's friend. He looks at the Olive Garden, and he goes, oh, you guys got an Olive Garden up here? That's my favorite Italian restaurant.
Well, well, you know what you don't know can't hurt you.
Yeah, I guess not.
Dina, are you an Olive Garden fan?
I think we can answer that question for her.
Yeah. Do you enjoy the
No. You know what? See, now you're going to get me in trouble.
Oh, no.
Dina,
chefs are trained in Italy, though.
We don't want to get her in trouble. We don't want to get her in
trouble. No, don't get me in trouble. You know what, Brant? I tell you, we have the best barbecue
ever.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Turn the negative.
Yeah, so you don't go to Branson for Italian food.
No. Well, it's like that commercial from they ran a commercial. Uncle Pietro came in from Italy. We took him out to Olive Garden. I always wondered if my car would blow up if I took my Uncle Pietro out.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's nice here. It's nice and quiet, and the people are wonderful. So we're good. But we get out and we get to go to, you know, Chicago and have great food. And even there's great food in Florida. And wherever we go, when I go to Steubenville, Ohio, I go to the Naval Spaghetti House. Very good.
Steubenville, for our listeners, is where your father was born.
That's
correct?
Right. And we have the Dean Martin Festival there every year.
Oh, yeah.
And people come from all over the world, and we just, get together and honor my father, and we raise money for the Dean Martin Music Scholarship. And it's just a lot of fun. Usually the second weekend in June.
I got to run something by you, Dina. I was talking about this before the show. I've talked about this. I was talking to Steve yesterday about it. This is how I feel about your father on a comedy level, because, you know, as a comedian, so I'm thinking comedy here. He was, to me, the guy, it wasn't called improv then, but I kind of believe he was the guy that showed us what improv is.
I think you're absolutely correct, because now he did not rehearse when he would do his TV show. And he would, first of all, when he would walk into a room, you knew he was there. There was just something so charming and charismatic about him. It was not to be believed. But it's not that he would tell jokes. He was just funny. He could make a bottle of water be funny. And there was just something about his delivery and his timing. And he could size up a room, and he could size up a person. And there was just something about him that was really, I don't think it's ever been duplicated by anybody. And even Jerry Lewis, he says, you know, Dean was the funny one. He was the greatest straight man, because he was so funny. But the timing and his mind, and he was so sharp. And you're absolutely right. I think he was one of the first. Of course, we love, you know, Uncle Milty, and, you know, he was great.
Yeah.
But I think my father was one of the funniest men around.
Well, you know, Shelley Leibowitz was telling us he was on the set of Robin and the Seven Hoods. And
he was?
Dean and Frank, when they worked together on films, the script was more of a suggestion than anything.
that's absolutely true. It's true. But when I just saw Some Came Running again.
Some Came Running.
The other night, it was on in Las Vegas, and Some Came Running was just a brilliant, brilliant movie.
It is.
It's
probably my favorite performance of Dean's. He's so good in it, and it takes his persona and plugs it into like a really serious movie. And Frank is great in that too, and Shirley MacLaine. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. I thought Dean, and he really showed he's such a talented actor in that regard. I mean, I love him in Rio Bravo, but in that movie, I thought that is really something special.
Yeah, it's true, and it was just. It's remarkable, and every time I see that movie, and I think, my God, Shirley MacLaine, just breathtaking. But yeah. When Dad would say, you're not going to marry that pig, and it was like, oh, my gosh, he was so good and convincing, and Shirley was just so sweet and so vulnerable. It was just an unbelievable movie.
No, I agree. What was it like for you? So you're growing up during these times. What is it like for you that at your house, you got Uncle Frank coming over, Uncle Stacy,
yeah.
Uncle Milty. Oh.
You know, it was pretty remarkable. And they were such, you know, for lack of a better word, they were just such cool people. And they were fun to be around. And it was really an exciting time. You know, and I mean, and just to imagine being at a party with all of these guys, or that you would just walk into your living room and there they were. Or it would be Christmas Eve, and we're singing Christmas songs with Rosemary Clooney. And it was just a time that was, it will never be again.
More importantly, you growing up with everyone around the house, how was it when you started dating, and my buddy Alex Luisi wants to know, when you started dating and these guys would come over, how was your father and these people around these people?
He was funny, you know, but he was so nice. he was nice to the guys, but of course it was intimidating to them. And I have a lot of wonderful stories in the book and things that would probably take too long. But Dad was just,
well,
you know, what, when you would see Dean Martin and you would just say, oh gosh, I really like him, that's how he was.
Yeah.
And he was easy to be with, and he made everybody feel comfortable. And that's something that he was just brilliant doing. And I know, you know, to this day, people walk up to me and they say, you know, I loved your father. And we felt in our heart that if we saw him on the street and we walked up to him and said hi, that he would probably be very nice to us. And I said, that's exactly right. That's how he would be. And he always taught me to treat people the way you want to be treated. And everything will be all right.
That's amazing. It's a great outlook. It's nice that to hear that Dean, because you hear so many of these stories about some of your heroes and stuff, and you hear they weren't the best of people, and it's really nice to hear Dean was top notch.
Andy,
he really was, and he was a good friend to people, and he did things that no one ever knew that he did, and he, you know, I mean the amount of money that he would donate to charities and the things that he would do anonymously is just amazing to me.
And clear up,
amazing.
Clear up the misconception for our audience, because Shelley Leibowitz did previous, but in case we have more listeners or different listeners, your father was not really a drinker.
No, and he wouldn't have been able to, you know, do the body of work that he did. And that was his gimmick. And I'm not saying he didn't have a cocktail. You know, in fact, I'm sorry that I didn't bring a martini down to the studio with me. I'm sitting here with some hot tea. But there is no way that he could have done the body of work that he did. And that was just his, as I say, you know, his gimmick. And he really was a good actor. People believed it to be true. And
yeah,
that's still one of the things that kind of I'm so shocked at when people come up to me and they go, how could he do all that work and be drinking all the time? And I said, well, he wasn't. And then there's also, and you know, this kind of upsets me, is when I see some of these impersonators who will impersonate Dean Martin, and they come out and they are disrespectful in the sense that they play him so drunk, and it's just not right. And that's not how he was. He was brilliant and perfect when he was on stage. But it hurts me to think that new generations will go see, you know, some of these shows and think that that's what Dean Martin was like. That is not what he was like.
Shelley said the exact same thing to Lenny and I. He said, do not go see the impersonators in Vegas. They're disrespectful to Dean's legacy. They act like drunks. These guys were never drunk like that. And
no,
They can't entertain like they did.
No, and, you know, when I think about the three of them, and I think Dean, Frank, and Sammy, and they were, I think, three of the most multi-talented superstars that ever existed, and they were professional, and they had fun, and they knew what they were doing, and they made the audience feel special, and I don't know, I'm sure that there are people who do that now, but there was just something about those three that was just amazing to me.
Do you have a secret passion that no one knows about, Dina? Like, do you garden? Do you, like, what is that? What do you do for hobbies?
I love to work out. For me, you know, if I can get on a treadmill and get with the weights, it just makes me feel good. And, you know, I love to get outside and walk. I'm kind of into healthy, you know, I like doing things like that. And then, of course, my husband and I just love to just lie down in bed and watch movies.
Oh, well, that's good. The classics or the new stuff, what?
All of it. You know, and it's funny that you had mentioned Return to Me. That's one movie that we love. But we love the classics and, you know, The Thin Man. Or, I mean, it's just, you name it. If it's a good movie, then we love it. Or we'll just laugh hysterically at The Dumb and Dumber.
And
I just want to die. You know, when I see something, you know, I say, I can't believe that I'm sitting, you know, and I'm laughing at something. So we laughed. I mean, I was horribly embarrassed at the Hangover, you know, but it was so funny. And so it's, you know, I mean, it's all different types of movie. But I could watch The Bourne Identity or The Bourne Supremacy 50 more times. Whenever it comes on, I watch it.
Dina's got good taste. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
You are aces for The Dumb and Dumber and The Hangover.
Yeah.
You got me going. Now, this is a woman who is got a sense of humor.
Well, anybody who knows probably as much about Vegas as you do would have to appreciate The Hangover, because that is a Vegas movie.
Well, today,
I tell you, you know, I mean, and you just sit there and you go, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. I can't believe they're doing that. And it's just so funny. And, you know, it's, it really is funny, you know. So, but, I mean, it's all the movies. And when the actors are good and when the writing is good, you know, and it takes you away. It's, you know, you're escaping. And it's entertaining, and it's just, you know, it's funny. And that's what you want. You know, life is so tough with things that are going on in the world, and people are so nutty. You have to be able to go see a good show or see a good movie and turn on the radio and listen to a good radio show. Or, you know, it's that's what life is about. You know, it's about.
Who would
you know,
say
life is tough.
Who are some of your favorite actors right now, Dina?
Gee, some of my favorite actors now. It's hard to say.
Georgie Clooney?
Well, you know, I adore him, and
yeah.
I think he is wonderful.
Yeah.
I think he is wonderful. Of course, Dennis, well, you know, of course I love Dennis Farina. I love Joe Mantegna and Criminal Minds. Some of the, young actors, they're just not coming to mind right now. There's just
me, you know.
But George Clooney, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I could be your young favorite. I'll be your young favorite.
Okay. All right. I'm just going blank on them right now. I've seen so many movies lately, and we've just been on the road recording the Christmas album and then doing Connecticut and then going to Las Vegas. And now we're back here today. It's a little overwhelming for me, but it's all good.
Dina, settle an argument for me and Lenny. This is
Alrighty.
The perfect person to go to with this.
What argument?
Uh-oh.
Meaning of the word broad.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Look, she is...
To me, I think the meaning of the word broad would be just a cool woman.
Yeah.
Yes. Very
all right.
Good.
Yes.
Very good. So it's not really an argument.
Because
we agree.
No, we do agree. But no, but this is great because now every time you and I go out in the city on the weekends and some woman gets mad at us for calling her a classy broad, we can be like, you know what Dina Martin told us? And what
it's right. You know, because it's with all due respect, because there's just something, it's, you know, it's cool. And that's what it is, and it's I love the term, you know. I mean, I do, but that's probably because, you know, how I grew up.
Cool. The princess of cool says it. It's that.
That's right.
Done. Yeah. Do you know now? You and I are using that all the time. All the time. That's
right.
Our defense.
Yeah.
The broad's coming out even more now.
Any woman that is not moved by your endorsement of the word, we're settling the bar tab. We're walking out. You know.
All right, boy, am I in trouble now? I'm going to get a lot of emails now. A lot of Facebook things are going to happen now.
You know, I know you got that Christmas album coming out, so that's for this year, right?
Oh yes, it'll be out next month.
And do you see yourself touring for that album as well, or no, or what's going to happen?
Oh yes, well, you know what, I have a lot of shows, I think, that are coming up, and what I would love to do is I would love to do them with the symphony, because I've done a few symphony dates to have my these beautiful arrangements with an 88-piece orchestra. It's not to be believed, and some of the orchestrations on the Christmas album are just the parting of the Red Seas will happen. I mean, it's, you know, you talk about it, unbelievable orchestrations. They're beautiful, and I would love to do you know, symphony dates with that. But we will be traveling around doing a lot of shows. I'll be in San Francisco and, as I say, West Virginia and L.A. and House of Blues in a couple weeks on September 11th. I will be there. So I will be traveling around, and I will do that until they get the hook and tell me I can't do it anymore.
Well, I think that's outstanding. Dina, I was going to ask you as well. So this movie that Bonnie Hunt's writing of your dad's, is this happening soon? Or what's the update on that?
Yeah, well, we just had a meeting with Joe Montaigne, as I say, last week when he came to Capitol. And it's just, it's trying to get Bonnie to be able to sit down. She's been so busy herself. It's all of us trying to, it's happening now. I just don't know how long it's going to take.
Okay.
But I will tell you that One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest took 10 years.
Yes.
And so I'm hoping that it's not going to take 10 years. I mean, we have to do it now, and everybody is kind of in place. And so it's just people's schedules get a little crazy. But we're trying to do it right now.
But you know what? Do it. It's better to do it right than do it
that's right.
Sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's how we feel.
Do you have a dean picked out?
No. I'm stuck. I really don't. There's just something about him that was so incredible, and I just haven't found anyone who has that twinkle in their eye, like he knows something, and who is smart and funny and handsome and cool. I just haven't found that person yet. I'm sure he's out there.
What you mean?
I'm just going to throw this out there. I think if I were a professional actor, as much as I would die for the chance to do that, at the same time, I don't know if I'd want to. I'd be like, how can you recreate something so unique?
So intimidating.
It's true, and I must say, and Joe Montaigne, he was so respectful and wonderful when he did that. And he loved Dean Martin. But we have to have someone, and I really admire how he portrayed him. But now in this movie, because you have to go from young to older, and so it's going to take someone who is an unbelievable actor, who has all of these traits, and it is intimidating. It has to be someone who knows what they're doing and who would not be intimidated by it. And I'm sure he's out there.
That's great. Yeah, I'm sure you'll find one.
I think so.
I don't know. A lot of young people aren't talented anymore, though. You know what I think it is? We had a conversation about this. Is a lot of young people don't got to earn it anymore. They don't got to work it. They don't have to learn their craft anymore. And that's why we're seeing less and less talent come out.
Oh, absolutely. Dean was a boxer. I mean, before he even got in. And a good one.
Yeah. Yes, he was. Kid Crochet.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm going to get this right. He was very proud. He said he had 12 professional bouts, and he won all but 11 of them.
Hey, I mean, he's still got 12 on me. So
or one, but with YouTube and all of that, now someone can sit in their bedroom and put on their do something and become an overnight success. Which is unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
When these other people, went and learned their craft and worked hard all their lives and maybe never got a break.
Oh.
So it's a whole different time now, you know.
I have a question. I always wondered this. When did your dad actually make the jump and change his last name, if I pronounce this correctly, from Crochetti to Martin?
It was back when he was, I think it was with the Ernie Watson band. It was early on. I do have a few programs where he was Dino Crocetti when back in Steubenville. But when he moved, and I think the first name they gave him was Dean Martini, and then I think it was Sammy Watkins. I'm trying to remember as I say. I'm a little crazy right now. He changed his name, and I'm trying to think what year that would have been when it became official. Probably in 43 or 44.
Wow.
Something like that. I know my brother Craig was born a Crocetti, and everybody else was born Martins on our birth certificates.
Okay.
So is your house like the coolest museum ever?
Yes. Yes, it is. When I come home and I walk into our den, and I just look at all of the photos and the awards and albums. It's just it's an amazing place, and how lucky am I?
I just want to tell you before we do let you go once again how much this means to me. Your father is like everything to me. This is great. This is awesome. This is awesome. I really appreciate it. This is a great birthday present. What did you ask for your birthday, Dina?
I've been so busy. I haven't asked for anything yet. My God, I've got to start thinking of that. Well, but when I grow up, and I'll tell John, I said, well, you know, Matthew, you know, I was his birthday present.
Yes.
My husband's going to wonder about this.
Hey, let me tell you, though, I'm going to warn you, Dina, because I didn't ask for anything for my birthday. And then I figured out when you're my age, if you don't ask, you ain't going to get anything.
You're absolutely right. And so and I've been so busy with other things. Let me see. That's a good thing. I've got to go think about that right now. Because usually whenever I ask my husband for anything, I get it.
Oh, I got him in trouble now. But
yes, you did. yes, you did.
His sister called me yesterday, and she goes, "What did Ma get you?" And I go, "Nothing." And she goes, and she's yelling at Ma. She goes, "You didn't get him anything? He didn't want anything."
Well, you see, you know, you're absolutely right. Well, you know, once you have everything, you know, you don't need anything else. You know?
I got you. I wasn't going to roll the dice past that.
He's got free dinner coming.
Oh, I hope so. I better.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'll put in a good word at Rayo's for you.
Thank you.
We'll tell Frankie Pellegrino. Frankie, no.
And you know what? If you could, I would love you. Put in a good word with that Bonnie Hunt for me. I'd love to have her on. I love her.
I will do that. And she is a doll. In fact, I'll text her after when I get off the phone.
You're amazing. Thank you, Dina. Do you have anything you need to promote? Other than
if people would just go, I've got a lot of things going on. If people would just go to dinamartin.com and they can take a look at that and what's going on, and make sure to get the new Christmas album when it comes out. It's going to be definitely added to the Christmas collection, and they'll be very happy that they did.
And I would love to come see you perform. I'd love to do a studio show with you sometime. I don't know how we're going to. You're not in L.A. anymore, but we'll figure it out.
I will be in L.A. Well, when are you going to L.A.?
December we move.
December? Well, I will be back there doing something. In fact, may have a CD launch party in December for Christmas, but we'll figure that out then.
I love you. You are the greatest. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you and a few.
All right,
thank you very much.
You were
nice talking to all of you guys. Don't get me in trouble.
Thank you. You never will.
Okay. All right. Good night. Bye bye.
Oh.
Wow. Next time she's in Chicago, the one girl's gonna walk up to me and be like, "Are you why everybody here calls us broads?
Are you Dina Martin?
Are you the one that said it was okay?"
They have their arms crossed. They're like, "Are you Dina Martin?"
Yep.
Well, I never.
Oh, Lenny, what'd you think, pal?
I loved it.
That,
did you just pal me?
Was that one of your?
No, that's Dean Martin's that pal.
Yes,
it's a pal.
Yeah, you know what? You know what his pals meant too.
Is that why I get called pal all the time?
I call everyone pal though.
But, well, that's what I thought. But then
and
Matt had to
like,
tell me.
He's like, oh, it just means go fuck yourself.
I just saw Phil Rosenthal did an interview with another podcast, not as long as ours, but I kind of feel cheated on.
Why is that?
Why?
You know what? Time out.
Dina Martin. Sorry, I feel like I've been cheated on.
Phil who?
We
ain't that a kick in the head, okay?
Yeah. We just had Dina Martin on.
I love Phil. But anyways, back to Dina. Hey, how about a launch party in L.A., huh?
She was the coolest.
You know what? You know, depending on that date, it might be meant to be, huh?
Oh, that's true. You may be out there. Well, no, it's going to be a Christmas launch, you goof.
Yeah, before Christmas.
Well, the album ain't going
to convince her to stay in Vegas with us and then LA.
Oh, please. She ain't going anywhere near
free room at
Vegas.
The Trop.
It's going to be January 14th for the Christmas CD launch date somehow.
You're just happy she's putting in a good word at Rouse.
Yeah, actually,
they sell the sauce, don't they, Mike?
Yeah, they do.
They do.
I've had their sauce. It's very good, actually.
It is very good. It's about $8 a bottle, which sounds expensive, but it's unlike a sauce you'll get in the bottle anywhere else around here.
I usually get the tomato and the basilico.
At Cassano's, they have great homemade sauces, actually.
Come on.
What? He brought it up. He started it.
All right, no more of that.
He's trying to bury my price
of business. Hold on. For the small chance, well, actually, this is probably a pretty good chance because I know we're getting real big these days.
literally or figuratively?
Well, we'll just leave that one for imagination. But I'm just saying, because we're getting so huge and everybody listens to our radio show, I'm just going to throw this out here because if Frankie Pellegrino's listening.
Stevie. Stevie. DC, would you?
Yeah, DC, me too, would you?
Yeah.
So
thanks, pal.
I'm just going to throw this out there because I think if Pellegrino saw how much food we actually order when we go out to eat, I mean, really, if he saw how much food we ordered, I don't think he'd have a problem letting us in.
No.
No.
There's no chance.
No.
I mean, again, when I walk into restaurants, their check averages go up.
So are we saying December 26th we're having dinner at Rao's in Vegas?
Bingo.
That's not the original.
Yeah, I know, the one in New York, I know, but is that where
You'll
we're
having... You'll be happy to have dinner at that Rao's.
Is that where we're having post...
Now, is it Rao's or is it Rao's? I always thought it was Rao's.
Rao's, Rao's.
Dino would
We better
know.
Make reservations now, then.
For December 26th.
Yeah,
fuck you, Matt. Actually, me and Mike are going. You're not in Vegas on this way.
So we're going to go. We're going to go to Rao's.
Oh, you're coming. Oh,
we're going to Batali's restaurant.
I expected you only come pick me up and drive me back. Like you were going
to
be. In
I got like seven or eight Italian restaurants we're going to when we got out there.
No. I got one night in a casino. It's about 10 minutes off the strip. It's phenomenal.
That's all. I don't care. Let's go.
Mimo's. Fuck, I forgot the name.
Hey,
of it.
Speaking of restaurants, can I tell you about this place, Rogue 24, that John Fritchie turned me on to yesterday?
No, let's hear about
Not in a good way. Fritchie and I, we were talking about this. You have to sign a 2-page contract to eat there.
What?
Excuse me, where's this? Where's this at?
Washington, D.C.
It's called Rogue 24.
I said Rogue
what
24.
What neighborhood? I'll be in D.C. in October.
Well, you better make reservations now. You need to
well,
sign
what's the
a two-page contract.
What's the contract?
It's a, okay, can I read this to you?
Is this a
you?
Fucking sushi place? Where
can I can I read this to you?
Sata
Z. Oh, look at him. Go faster. Oh, is he sweating?
All right. Can I read this? Get your pen out if you want to have dinner at Rogue 24. Because first, you have to sign a 2-page contract to cement your reservation at the newly opened conceptual restaurant serving only 24 and 16-course tasting menus in the middle of an alleyway. And if you're keyed up about snagging reservations at the buzzy new restaurant, don't get so excited that you tweet about your meal in between courses or take a snapshot of your favorite dish. Cell phones and cameras are explicitly banned during the three-hour-plus long dinner.
Excellent.
By the way, also no smoke breaks
it's
during
in a
the
fucking alley.
No smoke breaks during
what,
the 24
the
courses.
They're serving you the rats.
Why is it in an alley?
I don't know. You just said you wanted reservations.
Hey, why don't you look it up?
Well, it's in an alley. I can't eat in an alley next to a fucking dumpster.
Whoa.
And
hey,
you can't
hey,
tweet?
Frankly, time out. That you alley can't. That we ate in at, over in LaGrange, that was a very nice alley. We
you weren't in the alley. That was the cleanest alley
you
you've ever
cannot
seen in your life.
Tweet, Facebook, or anything, not only while you're at the restaurant, until you get home. There's like an hour or two wait after the eating period that you cannot tweet
is
or
like,
Facebook.
What, they don't want people don't want
they to They won't let you get another table there ever again.
Listen. But is it in the same alley every time or does it move?
By the way, if you cancel reservations, you're stuck paying $150 per person.
I'll tell you something. We've eaten in our share of alleys. I know I have. I don't know about you.
Ratatouille.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
anyway,
call Visa and cancel for incomplete payments.
Here's the question.
Cancellations after 3 p.m. on the day or of showing up more than 30 minutes late for their dinners earn 100% charge. So if you're late or if you cancel, you are paying 100%.
Time out. Before we try to from somebody who understands the restaurant industry, especially at the high end.
Yeah, like Toscano's, but continue.
Yeah, because I recommended that restaurant.
You did.
That was a figment
you
of
did.
Your guys' imagination.
No, it was not.
Yes,
you
it
brag
was.
About it all the time. You're
no,
like,
I don't.
Toscano's.
You know, I really don't.
Did he not know a girl at the bar there?
Yeah, I know a girl who works there. From
You never said the food was good.
I never said the food was
you
good.
You never said the food was good.
Not a chance.
Oh, wait,
that was a figment
about?
Of your imagination.
I don't think so, Mikey.
About the high-end
restaurant? In any event, for somebody who understands a high-end restaurant and understands how these work before you and your liberal media twist this into your own imagination, the reality of it is this. When you run an extremely high-end restaurant like that, and the quality of the ingredient you have to buy is very specific. The timing that you need for how long that quality of ingredient lasts in your, I mean, you might buy an ingredient that may only last 1 or 2 days, and it could be extremely expensive. So when you have reservations set up like that, you literally have to plan for your meal, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time. So
are these like what do they call those little appetizers? Is this like a tapas thing?
No, it's not tapas.
No,
this
have a set menu every night.
Actually, you realize
this is 16 to 24.
No, what I'm
very
saying, like,
small.
No, you're saying is right because this is a set menu every night. They don't have like you pick off the menu. It's
you're right. And
so they need to have
by
food.
The
so,
way, book by sorry. Book by August 22nd, $60 one way to L.A. on Virgin.
That's not bad.
I don't think Charlie Trotter's does what Rogue 24 does.
They do. They're similar. You know, a restaurant that we have is actually very close. Charlie Trotter's is pretty much off the map at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know if it got rated number one in the world. I know it was number one in the country, but it was probably in the top five in the world. It's a restaurant called Alinea in Chicago.
I got to tell you.
Alinea does.
F Rick Bayless.
Yeah.
I hate him.
I
don't like him. I think he's a weirdo.
Okay, well, we'll leave that out there for now. But
what
yes,
do you mean?
Alinea.
You like Rick Bayless?
I didn't. You know what? The timeout. I'm having a conversation here. You over here
on the Mikey Turzo show? On the Mikey Turzo show?
Oh, my God.
Go ahead. Talk about your Alinea.
In any event, Alinea does do, if you guys want to go, they do, it's either a 24 or a 26 course meal. And I think it's like $250, and I would just die to do it. It's wonderful.
Would you die?
Mm-hmm.
$105 round trip.
Are you just upset because I'm talking about something that you cannot you can actually add anything intellectual to?
So you're talking about $10 per course.
Can I just tell you?
Which I think is worth every bit.
$105 round trip for our L.A. trip on Virgin. Well, you got to book this week.
Right, and this is, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, man, I'm sorry. I'll stop having an intelligent conversation
first
for a minute.
First class is $1,000 on Virgin.
Hang on. Turzo just found out.
But $100 for round trip.
Turzo just learned what I go through on this show.
If you want L.A. to Chicago, it's only like $80 one way.
How much is first class?
Am I going to have to buy two tickets?
For one way? I got to look because I looked at round trip.
Do they have a measurement for how wide your ass is?
The seats are very big at Virgin.
Go to SeatGuru.com. Actually, look this up.
Go to SeatGuru.com.
Because something tells me I have an oversized ass.
Me too. So do you want to just get three seats for us?
Yeah, we should.
Three?
No, yeah, we'll just get the three seats between us.
Can you put the arm up in the middle?
That's what we have to find out because I know you can on Southwestern United.
Because I don't feel like I need two seats, but I probably need more than one.
But if it's me and you,
well, we're fine.
Then we'll have.
And we don't have to deal with any fat, smelly ladies.
Yeah.
That lady who doesn't like how we talk.
Lenny, I wanted to tell you they're the same price no matter what, round trip or one way. It's the same. So they're trying to get you by the one round trip.
Really? One way is the same as round trip?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm looking at it right now.
Looks like I'm flying United.
What's wrong with Virgin?
Because I'm not going from Chicago to L.A., you fucking idiot. I'm going from Chicago to Vegas, L.A. to Chicago.
Is there a reason we are throwing out Fs?
I just mean I love you.
Does Virgin, what does Virgin only fly like to 10 airports in this country? Or what?
Okay, I'm at Virgin still because I'm loving this website.
It's a pretty website.
Yeah.
Oh,
man hears the word Virgin and he thought that, you know, yeah.
No.
Yeah, you all a bunch of comedians, eh?
It's not a porn website, man. It's an airline.
Okay, I'll let you know how good Virgin is. Don't
you
worry.
Does Virgin have a flight to Vegas?
You tell us what that Richie Brands is up to.
Does they have a flight to Vegas?
Yes.
I'm looking.
La, da, 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 da.
Calm down, Lucy, old ball.
Yeah, they have flights to Vegas, Lenny.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Lenny, are you always wrong about everything?
La, da, da, da. Ma, da, ma.
They have flights to Vegas. Are you sponsored by Virgin or something?
You wasted an F-bomb on misinformation.
What?
Time out.
I'm saying they have flights to Vegas.
Hold on.
But the same price of round trip, the same price as one way, right? Hold on.
I have an aunt who works at United who may be able to get us very, very good tickets.
So maybe we should
be posted. Oh, you guys can't fit on United. Where are we going? SeatGuru.com? What is SeatGuru.com, Mikey? Why don't you explain it for our audience that are still probably not listening?
Well, apparently, far as I know about SeatGuru.com, and it's actually Lenny's thing, if you're large, overweight, or you just maybe aren't overweight, just happen to have an oversized ass like me, because I'm not fat, and my ass is just big.
Yeah, but how am I can't do this without having the flight number.
Yeah, you need a flight number.
Lenny, you goof.
Lenny, come figure out how this damn website works. Sit down.
Sit down, you mess.
Why are we doing this on the
air? Can we go eat now? I'm starving.
No, we still have a show to do, you fat fuck.
Hey, don't call me a fat fuck.
You
You know, you want to call me fat, that's one thing. You call me a fat fuck, now we're going to have a problem.
You are a fat fuck.
I'm not a fat fuck, you fucking stroke. Oh, now I'm a stroke.
Look at you.
Now I'm a stroke.
You know what? You know what? You know what? I hate to say it.
Oh.
You're not funny. Well, you know what?
Oh! Happy birthday.
hopefully Italian. I'm in the mood for Italian. You know what? I'm going to throw you right in there with the same category as my cousin's friend to talk about the Olive Garden.
Yeah, Terzo's going to Olive Garden.
Have you guys actually seen that commercial?
Lenny, Terzo's going to Olive Garden, and then he's going to Pizza Hut for dessert.
Yeah.
Okay.
And after Pizza Hut, I'm going to stop by Shoney's, okay?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
And go to Baskin-Robbins, right, have about 15 or 20 flavors.
In first class, the seat is a 55-inch pitch, a 21-inch width.
Ooh, that's close.
And it has an in-seat massage function.
Wait, that's first class.
Yeah, but on Virgin, they have massages in the chair. By the way, main cabin select is 36 by 20. And you can recline 5 inches.
Ooh, 5 inches.
5-inch recline, that's not bad.
It's a big recline. That's a big, and that's Virgin America, folks.
I'm 5 inches. I'm about that big.
Steve's making the funniest face. It's like we are not actually talking about this on the show.
You fucking douche! What are you doing? On Virgin, that is the smallest. I just told you, 20-inch width. So what do you want me to look at? United.
Use the mic.
United Southwest.
No, first class is like 35. It can't be 35 inches wide. I'm telling you right now. I just read it.
Yeah, but here
I'll do
out.
It again.
Time out. It could be, because if you look.
I read the pitch, too. Why don't you pay attention when I talk? The pitch width? Is 55 inches. The width is 21 in first class. But the width in all the other classes is also 20. Southwest?
Yeah, check him.
Yeah, check him. Check him. Kevin Smith, yeah. Fucking.
All right, I'm looking at Southwest.
Oh, and Shapey McGee over here. I fit just fine in the
non-stop, pitch. Or would you like to connect?
Wait, no. I said look on Seat Guru.
I am on Seat Guru, you seat moron. The width on Southwest is 17.
Okay, thank you.
Would you like to see United? You want to see how much better Virgin is than United?
Check United, the... Because it's the L.A. Airline.
Hi, I'm Russell.
Oh,
here we go.
I'm
Russell
LA
Brand.
Airline.
I'm Russell. Not Russell Brand.
What's his name?
Russell Branson? Or
no.
Richard Branson.
Richard Branson.
Sir Richard
Branson. Nicky Brands.
And who said it was an L.A. airline? Nobody.
Then why are you down there getting on your knees for it?
Oh, here we go. Because it's a good
check
airline.
Check out Airbus 320 under United.
Look, I'm on Airbus. Oh, I got Airbus 320 right here. I got it right here. Airbus A320.
So if you have a 50-inch waist...
Well, where do I look for the seat?
Could you fit in a 21-inch seat?
Where do I look for the seat
from
this
know.
Fucking thing? Oh, here it is. Oh, you get a full more inch on Richie Branson's little airline.
Wow.
You get a full 2 inches more.
Thanks, Dickie Branson.
You get a half an inch.
It's still bigger on Dickie Branson. Yeah, it's still an inch bigger on Richard Branson's airline.
You know, you sound like a couple of bras over there arguing about 1 inch this, 2 inches.
All I'm saying is the most comfortable
seat. If it was just 2 inches bigger.
The most comfortable seat on any airplane you will ever be on that you can afford because you people are poor is not United. It's Virgin.
Well,
wait, let me ask you a question. Wait. No, time out. Let me ask Lenny a question who's saying it flies out everywhere. Lenny, where do you go? Use the microphone. Where do you go? I'll tell you if it flies out of there.
Las Vegas?
Yes.
Fort Lauderdale?
Yes.
New York?
Yes. D.C. and L.A.
Does it?
You want to make a bet? Oh, we are checking.
Is it Midway or O'Hare?
Here's the places it flies out of. It flies from Boston, Cancun, Chicago, Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, Vegas, Cabo, New York,
LAX.
Orlando, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, Washington, and of course, my favorite, Los Angeles. Now let me ask
but
you
how
a
many
question
flights do they
here,
have from
Leonard?
Chicago to Vegas a day, and how many?
Three. What do you mean? Well, what do you mean?
You
there's a red eye. There's an afternoon.
Well, you're not supporting
and there's
a
night.
Chicago company.
I am supporting Virgin America, which, by the way,
is
the
which
best
is you
flying
represent.
Experience.
But you've never done it.
What are you talking about? Fly it every day.
Yeah, he's never flown
oh,
on Virgin
think,
before.
Oh, that's where you're texting me at 3 o'clock
you know,
in the morning.
You know, it's ironic that you love Virgin so much and you've never...
By the way, haven't I texted you before to take Virgin?
No, no, you haven't.
Okay. All I'm saying is Virgin's the way to fly. It's the most comfortable. There's free drinks, massages in first class.
How much is a first
pretty
class?
Good.
How much is a first class ticket?
Like Virgin's?
$1,000 round trip.
How much is the...
Not bad.
I'd rather spend it in Vegas.
But the one way...
You know how much a first class is on United to Vegas round trip?
How much?
Ask him.
Like $1,500.
Oh!
No. But what I'm saying is the one way is the same price as the round trip.
Well, for this deal, I'm saying there's a deal to August 22nd. So they're trying to cut the one way price in half. Or the round trip in half.
Wait, I think I've seen that deal. I think it was only if you're flying out of Boston. And
no, everywhere. Everywhere. I'm looking at it right now. I just looked.
Are we going to fit in first or third? Are we going to fit in coach?
On Virgin? Or
yeah.
What day are you guys coming
Virgin,
out? You're coming out December 26th.
How big is the width on Virgin?
21
for
something.
Standard.
Oh, for standard, 20. The width on the first class.
I checked it before. And
it's
like
19.7, if it makes you feel
better.
Because
I know United coach is wider than Southwest coach.
Okay. Well, just make sure we book this together.
Oh.
United, depending on the time.
You and me.
We'll just book
and me.
Off.
Yeah.
Riveting. This discussion. Riveting, I have to say.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Are we the only show ever to talk about
airfare?
I don't know.
Let's and see. Airline accommodations. Seat with.
Just the you and me.
No group of people has ever talked about the seat.
I think about you day and night. The only thing I think about the girl you love. And hold it tight. Let's not be together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me.
Why?
Imagine how the
Caesar, why? You do know the second most important.
Caesar, why?
What? You know the
text me, just text me, Caesar, on my phone.
Do you know what the second most expensive day to fly is, though, the day after Christmas? Why aren't you going out the 27th? Why are you going out the 26th? You will save tons of money if you go
you
out
know,
the next
you know what?
Day.
We actually might have to do a cost analysis on that.
I'm looking at it right now. You want the cost analysis?
Lenny, I'll wait an extra day to
look,
to
I can
save.
Tell you guys right now. You want it?
Yeah.
For this is from 12/26 to January 3rd round trip.
Stay an extra day.
On Virgin, the first class is 12/10 on the 26th. On the 27th, $1,100.
So you save $100.
Over. Yeah.
Now what about on coach?
If you wait one day.
What about on coach?
You save $100.
Yeah. On first class.
Yeah,
okay.
We're not flying first class.
You want coach? Main cabin is $383.
Okay. Now you're
the next day it's $323.
All right, well then I really don't care anymore.
It goes from what to what?
$383 to $323.
If you're willing to go out on the first log, it's $261.
Wait, what's first log?
Oh, and a middle finger, Caesar? Okay.
That would
I
be
see.
The
see.
First log
you
means
you're
sitting
about.
Up front.
Oh, little darling. Oh.
If you don't mind.
So, if we sit up front, it's $261. If we sit in the first row instead
the seat
of,
difference. If you sit
in the first row instead of 280 or 383, it's $261. That's
$261. I'm looking at the seats right now. It's great.
How about that,
here's
Dina
your
Martin?
Seats.
How about that, Dina Martin?
We're talking flights.
You know, I'm just going to throw this out there.
But once again, he is looking at round trip from Chicago.
Wait, by the way, and once again, he's looking at Virgin Airlines.
No.
What's
no,
wrong
no.
with Virgin?
What I'm saying is we need to look at one way because we're doing two different, three different.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's going to be more expensive for you.
Why did you take an RV? It's cheaper, Lenny.
Hey, Lenny, prepare to rent a car.
Yeah, it's 46 hours.
Yeah, what's the seat width on the rental car?
The Tahoe has a 25.
Pat Tobias says we are sounding really fat on the radio right now.
Yeah.
Is Pat fat?
He says yes.
This is our fattest show ever.
He says this is
an anti-obesity.
Okay, do you know what my plans are for the day after Christmas? Mine and Mike's. Do you know where we're flying to from?
Vegas. You are going from ORD to LAS on December 26th.
Right.
Yeah.
How are we flying home?
From LAX.
Right. So why do you keep putting round trip on some things?
Because you're going to save money if you do round trip.
How? We're not flying out of Vegas.
We're not flying
out of Vegas.
What, are we
going to
drive back to
fucking
Vegas?
That's what I'm saying.
Why not? Why not?
Oh, my. Do you see why I keep saying, why is he booking round trip when we're flying out of different
I thought I was driving you back to Vegas would be a good idea. It'd save you some money.
How much is it going to save me if you
over $100
to drive me from five? Then maybe we'll book United.
All I'm saying. All right,
I'll tell you what, man.
I'm personally taking Virgin myself.
I'm almost sold on Virgin. I'll tell you what. If you pay for 20% of my ticket cost, I'll fly Virgin.
Lenny's left the table.
If you don't charge me rent, staying
at
Russell. Oh.
Sorry. Aren't you guys getting a hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're staying at the best hotel of them all. Otherwise known as the Tropicana, which just went through a fairly recent remodel, if you guys didn't know, spent hundreds of millions of dollars. It's worth going to see if you haven't seen it. It's the best now with the best hotel.
Chicago to LAX right now with a new route. Grab a seat, $119 round trip.
Round trip.
No, round trip, goof.
Lenny, round trip, $119. Is that to Vegas or is that to L.A.?
Look, I'm doing a 30-minute ad for Virgin here.
This is, yeah.
Play along!
This is the best and most offbeat Virgin ad that has ever aired.
Maybe Richie Brandt would love it.
Yeah, right.
You know, I
really
don't think you're getting anything for it.
Let's see what you can get on these little airlines. What's at the clubhouse, for instance? Ooh, the clubhouse is a place where you can go hang out before the flight. You know how it is. All us people.
Am I one of the only people that don't need a drink to fly?
I need a drink. No, I don't drink.
I like having a drink when
I
fly.
Yeah, I'll take a drink.
Some people, I'm like, oh, I got to stop at the airport bar and get a drink before I got up on the plane.
I will say this. I was really early for my last flight, so I had one, but I didn't need
it. You know, we have mics here, Steve.
At Virgin America, we actually allow you to bring a lot for a very reasonable rate. You do have a baggage charge.
Not a
main.
Oh, you know who doesn't? Southwest.
Can you fit in Southwest?
I
pal?
Think
you
I can.
Can't fit on an MRI table.
You know, me and Lenny are buying the entire row. I think we're gonna fit just fine.
Lenny, are you joking? You're taking South fucking West. Terzo said you guys are taking Southwest. Each.
Yikes. Steve Weirich here, everybody. You should.
Hey,
by the way, I'm throwing this out here.
You can have up to 50 pounds, by the way, in your first $25. You're gonna have more than 50 pounds.
Let me just put this out there, okay? Let me just throw this out here. Let's look at this way. If we're gonna fit in a seat, if we're not gonna fit in a seat that's 18 inches, who fucking cares if it's 21 or 20? Because we're not gonna fit in that seat either.
Do you want an overweight fee, by the way, if you're too big?
What is the overweight fee?
Wow.
If you're 51 to 70 pounds too large,
yes.
$50. If you're 71 to 100 pounds too large, $100.
So how do I know if I'm too large? Am I number one or number two?
We were talking about bags. I was just fucking with you.
I was just saying, this sounds like a lawsuit.
I was just fucking with you.
Can I be that guy and get on TV and see if you sue the lawsuit?
All I'm saying is Virgin is, look, it's reasonable. It's affordable. It is celebrity. That is the flight to take. Don't do Southwest. I will kill you. You're paying like $30 more, maybe, to take Virgin. Where are you going, Luisi? You got nowhere to be.
He's taking a walk.
All right.
You go see Megan tonight.
I have a question.
It's hangout night.
Hey. Hey.
Yeah, continue.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, I'm listening. Hey, hey.
I sound like a rapper over here, okay?
You sound like Shanae.
Kind of are.
So where are we eating tonight?
Boy, we totally just talked about flying somewhere for 20 minutes.
I know.
In-flight entertainment on Virgin, would you like to know?
And we're still talking about it. Where the fuck are we eating? I'm starving over here.
You just ruined my ad with your F's. I don't know. We got 10 minutes of a show left. Do you mind, you fat fuck? And again, I still have to clean up diarrhea, and I'm going to use one of you two shirts to
do
it.
Come on, try and take it off me. I dare you right now.
Oh, please. It won't be that hard.
Come get me, Butterball.
It won't be that hard.
Oh, it wouldn't be that hard. I'd like to see.
Do you
want to
know what kind of food services Virgin offers, Fatty?
What you know what? I always take the kosher mailer on airplanes. Always take the kosher mail.
That's pretty good.
Oh, boy.
There's complimentary drinks the whole flight. Do you want to know what's on their menu? Yes.
Yes. What's the menu?
California deli sandwich, homestyle chicken, Thai peanut chicken hand rolls, Bavarian roast beef sandwiches, veggie and hummus, artisan cheese and fruit, power protein breakfasts, a comfort meal, a protein meal, and a hearty meal. Take your pick.
Sounds like quite the meal.
It's a menu, and I didn't even go through snacks.
Ooh, snacks?
Snacks.
I'll do some
Jelly snacks. Belly jelly beans fruit bowl.
I like that.
Yep, 15 yummy flavors.
Yummy flavors.
479 degree popcorn fleur de sel caramel.
Sounds grand.
Wow. Pringles.
Okay.
If you're in a Pringle, if you're a Pringle kind of guy.
I love Pringles.
Snickers. Are you a Snickers kind of guy?
I'll pass.
You want to hear about the drinks on the flight?
Yes. Yeah.
Luis is using your...
Yeah, listen, you sold me. I'll go Virgin.
Ghirardelli hot chocolate, Honest Tea, Honest Aid, Mighty Leaf Organic, a lot of Mighty Leaf products.
That's good.
Coke products. Here he goes. Here he goes.
Yep.
Look, just because I like to fly in style at affordable prices, you're going to rip on me for promoting Virgin here.
Do you fly weird, Matt? Are you good on a plane, or are you nervous?
No, I'm great on a plane. Okay. I just get annoyed real quick.
Yeah.
In first class, they have stuffed pasta shells, spicy grilled beef, ravioli sampler, seared salmon and pork belly. First class is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds that way.
And then they have, of course, entertainment on board as well.
Flicks? Kind
of here you go. Talking shit again about my good plans. You know what? Last time I helped you twos. That's all I'm saying. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Cassano's.
Ooh.
Cassano's.
Good pie there.
Cassano's.
Some good.
Cassano's. Cassano's. Cassano's.
You did. You had two hot dogs.
Here are the movies playing today on Virgin Airlines. Okay. Who wants to know what the movies are?
Tell me. Read them off.
On the 143 flight, you have Something Borrowed.
Okay.
At the 211 flight, you have X-Men First Class.
Okay.
On the 150
they
flight...
They only showed in First Class.
Yes. You have Arthur. Rio. They have all the new ones. Source Code. Soul Surfer.
Right.
Last Night. Rango. They have some decent flicks on the flight.
Okay.
Satellite TV on the flight.
Beautiful.
So you can watch any TV station.
Cool.
Premium TV. Californication, Game of Thrones, Boardwalk Empire. You can watch a bunch of Curb episodes.
Watch my Curb. So they have TVs on the seat headrest in every chair, so you could watch stuff that has swear words in it.
Correct.
Good.
Correct. You can watch music videos like Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Jennifer Lopez, Foo Fighters, Katy Perry. Where are you going? I got to clean up diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Terzo, let's say our final nice words about Dina, though.
Hey, Lois, diarrhea.
Say something nice about Dina. She was a doll.
You know what? I want to throw this out at you.
Oh,
Dina.
Here we go.
If I could sing, I'd sing you a song. But in all honesty,
who's
really.
Who's calling? Hello? Hello, is this Pat Tobias?
Yes, it is.
What are you calling
Fat
for,
Pat?
Sir?
I'm calling to tell you, why don't you just rent a fucking cargo plane? Get it catered and shut up.
Yes.
That's actually not a bad
idea. Pat, that's one of the best ideas I've ever heard. I have a friend that owns airplanes. We can have one of him fly us.
30 minutes.
We're sorry.
30 minutes of measurements. Shut up.
We will be resuming the Matthew Aaron Show shortly. Now, we now return you to the actual Matthew Aaron Show. Thank you.
Hey, you know what, Pat? I got to say, I'm glad we got a thinker in this bunch because, honestly, bud, that was great. I already know the catering company we could use. I know planes we could use.
There you go.
Well, look, I wanted to talk about Virgin Airlines for a little bit here. It's either that or the diarrhea.
What,
too interesting going on otherwise.
I didn't say anything during that whole discussion. I wanted to see how long it went on. Well, pretty long.
We tried to make it go as long as possible.
Yeah. That was jazz right there. That was Coltrane's My Favorite Thing. That just went on and on.
So, Pat, you need to call Richard Branson. Tell him we're all good on the Virgin now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll let him know. He'll be thrilled.
Steve, what are your thoughts on Virgin Airlines?
Well, first off, you guys are all the poster children for birth control. Virgin Airlines looks great. I got the point the first 2 minutes. I mean, what the fuck? Like, are you guys, like remedial fucking school here. Circles of paper and safety pencils.
I got to admit, they're not here anymore, but I should admit, I was in part doing it so long to annoy Len and Mike.
That's actually really funny.
Because you should have saw them sitting here. They're trying to talk about things.
And they left. They're not even here for this.
No, they had it. They had
it. Fucking left.
They had it.
Should they not know that you had two hot dogs and some fries before the show?
Oh, don't tell them I ate all of
it. I was going to say, should I not tell them that?
I think we should play a Dean Martin song. We got a long show tomorrow with Sammy Simon.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, Pat, since you're on the phone.
What?
How'd the interview go?
I thought the interview went very well. I thought everything afterwards was crap.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of the Virgin Airlines discussion.
Okay.
It's 30 minutes of measurements and talking about whether you'll fit in the seat.
I thought it was a healthy conversation.
And now you're going to go out and eat. Now you're going to go out and eat. You get bigger.
That conversation was healthier than the people having it.
Pat, what Dean Martin song would you like to hear on our way out?
Pat, you like the Banner?
You know, any one of them is great.
Alex Luis, he wants to know if you like the Banner.
You like it, Pat?
I did like the Banner.
That he liked.
Thank you,
Pat. Who's on the show this week? Sammy Simon tomorrow and Thursday, Gary Valentine?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, we'll talk about something different tomorrow for you.
Good. Yeah.
I have a great 30-minute ramble about Burger King over McDonald's tomorrow.
And DiStefano will be in the house tomorrow.
Yeah, he sure won't. I mean, he sure will.
I bet I know what he'll be talking about as well.
All right, here's one more for my baby.
Gotcha.
No one in the place except you and me. Joe, set him up, Joe. I got a little story I want you to know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. So make it one for my baby, one more for the road. I got the routine, so drop another nickel. Well, in that machine, I'm feeling so bad. I wish you'd make that music really inside. Go tell you a lie. To be true to your core. Make it one for my baby, one more for the road. You'll never know it, but buddy, I'm a cowboy, and I got a lot of things to say. And when I'm gloomy, you simply gotta listen to me. until it starts to rain. Well, that's how it goes. And Joe, I know you're getting mighty anxious to close. So thanks for the cheer. Hope you didn't mind me kind of bending your ear. This torch that I found must be drowned, or it's too much cold. So make it one for my baby, one more for the road that long, long